This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Tech Thursday, meaning I'm joined in the studio by...
Hello, Jeff Sandu here.
Hello, Jeff Sandu.
Wong.
And Christine
also,
Wong.
Also, I'm here. Hi.
All the way through, as usual, until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Stories for you today. We'll be starting off with... You could hire and rent
yes.
a doomsday bunker if you are feeling terrified about something.
Well,
you just hide away for a while.
The world is not looking pretty at the moment.
Well, you never know. No. You know, positive mental attitude, Jeff. Positive mental attitude.
We'll start off with the doom and gloom.
Yeah, absolutely, but then we'll get it with some laughs a little bit later on. Christine will be talking to us about a new feature, the click to WhatsApp that's making the rounds over on the tinternets right now.
Yeah.
The Google year in search is something we'll be looking at a little bit later on.
Cool. Very excited for that.
How the force is strong with this one. A story I've got about a it's a amputee who can control individual prosthetic fingers.
That's amazing.
It's pretty fantastic. You need to watch the video if you get the chance.
Right.
And then we're going to be wrapping up with, and this could be a debate in the studio, is it Jiffy Cat or Giphy Cat? Right, we'll get to that later on. And it's Jiffy Cat's AI. We'll get to that in a little bit. First off then, Jeff.
Doom and gloom.
Tell me about some doom and gloom.
Yeah, because the current state of Earth in terms of like the national and global politics and also the environment and other factors like the 2017 has seen like a vast number of sexual harassment cases and stuff. So it's not a very pretty place at the moment. Like you've got nuclear, an upcoming nuclear war with North Korea deciding to still go ahead and do their testings. And, you know, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And it's a lot going on. 2017
seems like,
and then you've got AI as well, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yesterday we were terrified about AI.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fine if you're feeling scared and you feel like you want to go back to the days where, you know, I think back in the 80s when there was this whole talk about the world is going to end and everyone is thinking, let's build bunkers.
Right.
So it's fine now to, you know, revisit that idea because a few companies, and one specifically called Vivo Bunkers, it is now available for a 99-year lease for $1,000 a year, but you got to pay an upfront of $25,000 deposit upon signing.
Oh. Okay, so even the apocalypse is run by capitalism.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, not surprising at all if you've seen any of these movies, right?
You got to shell out so much money just to like stay alive.
It's the new way of the lifestyle of the rich and famous.
This is how the Fallout series starts.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
It's
exactly that.
And every other movie as well. What's that movie, that 2012? Or something, the one that's based on the Mayan calendar.
Listen, those are not either. Those are not the video games I want to live in, okay? I want to live in Animal Crossing where everyone's a friendly anthropomorphic animal and everyone is lovely.
So Vivos Shelters Networks, they've transformed military forces, former military fortress in South Dakota into a complex of 575 bunkers, which they are now leasing it out to customers. And the thing is with this, though, it's not just like an empty bunker. Of course, you know, once you pay $25,000 in deposit and you're paying $1,000 rental a year, you want it to be swanky.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
If I'm spending the rest of eternity underground, I want it to look nice.
Of course, yeah. So the beauty of it, though, that price that I just mentioned is just the bunker alone, the plain bunker. It doesn't come with any of these fancy things. Yeah, that it's like a separate additional cost. It's like a package. Even electricity and water supply and fresh air. Because think again, you're living in the bunker. Where are you going to get oxygen, right? So even that is an additional thing that you need to take on to the whole thing. But the beauty of it is that you can upgrade all the way to having a swimming pool, a spa, a wine cellar, a garden with simulated natural light, a cinema as well to watch, you know, all the Star Wars trilogy.
Only if you have a subscription to Disney's new thing.
If you have a subscription to Disney, you can have a library, you can have a conference room. One of the bunkers goes up to about 323,000 square foot
so
in size.
Basically,
and it's also like
doomed.
One of those like duplex kind of bunkers. So it's like a yeah, B1, B2 kind of bunker.
However, if you move to Beijing, they have these bunkers for free underneath the city.
Yeah, but then you got to share it with a billion other people,
but
right?
Fine. You know, it's free.
Well, you live with the lifestyle of the rich and famous. You have like
Listen. If you have to pay, what was it, $25,000 for an
deposit.
A deposit and then $1,000 per year on top of that for an empty bunker, you might as well go into your garden, dig a hole, and then like that's free. And you don't have to pay $25,000 for it. I mean, you could easily just like, I don't know, there are those there are people who have basements and stuff like that. Also free.
They have made it slightly easier for those people who don't want so much customization. So they've got kind of like
a
pre-customized version that comes in at a cool $5,000 a month.
Fantastic.
You see, I remember reading not too long ago, and I believe this was in South Dakota as well, before these, what they call Vivo, managed to get their hands on it, you could actually purchase one of these bunkers, and it wasn't all that expensive.
No.
It was something like $165,000. And it was for this huge complex.
I guess the doomsday threat is real, hence everyone has just mucked it up, right?
Apartments for the Apocalypse.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, A for A.
A for A. That's the name of our new company.
That's the name of the new company.
I like it. All right. We're going to move on from some doom and gloom to click to WhatsApp messaging buttons are now rolling out in Facebook ads. Tell me more.
I mean, still like a little bit doom and gloom for me because WhatsApp has always said that it has no plans to put ads into its app. Now, this is the thing that I have a very strong stance on this. Please don't put ads in the apps that I use to message people. Please just don't. I don't want any part of that. It's a personal thing. You're talking to someone. You don't want an ad in it. But Facebook, of course, which now owns WhatsApp, is trying to figure out other ways of monetizing the hugely popular messaging service, which has around 1 billion daily users, including me. And Facebook is now launching a new ad unit that would let businesses create a link between the two platforms. Advertisers can now include a button on their ad so people can call or message via WhatsApp with the click of a button.
Oh.
Pretty simple. Early sightings of the feature were in test mode earlier this year. Now Facebook has confirmed that it's rolling this out gradually, starting, of course, first with North and South America, because everything starts in America.
Of course. That's where the world begins and ends, of course.
Yeah. Then right. Africa, Australia, and most of Asia. Didn't say where in Asia, but whatever. You might notice that Europe is not yet included in the list, but from what is understood, the plan is to introduce Europe at a later date. I think it's to do with a few data protection law.
I think it's probably the punishment for Brexit.
Know, but in that case, North America shouldn't have it either because it's made some very terrible decisions. I mean, I'm not salty about it, whatever. But Facebook is still basically trying to observe how the feature is used, and they're still working through questions about how WhatsApp and Facebook will work together, because of course there's also Messenger, so it feels a little bit like, why, you know, how is WhatsApp going to be a separate thing and all this stuff. But it makes a lot of sense for them to try to start monetizing WhatsApp, because more than 1 million Facebook pages already include WhatsApp numbers in their posts each month. And then businesses are also using their WhatsApp and Facebook pages as their primary points of contact for users. So in a way, what they're trying to go for is like expanding WhatsApp into like the new yellow pages, essentially. And WhatsApp itself has also been working on a way of creating more specific business accounts for some time now. So this is giving them a link, right? Facebook ads can provide the businesses, and then WhatsApp can provide the point of contact. Which, great, you know, but I'm just a bit like, I've never once in my life seen an ad on Facebook and gone, I'm going to WhatsApp this to people.
Right. Yeah, me too.
I mean, interesting thing though, just last week I was getting a delivery here for something, and I received a message via WhatsApp, and it was from a number I didn't recognize, and it was just one of those, a parcel is on its way to your house or wherever. Please click this link to make sure your parcel gets delivered faster and something. And I'm like, hang on a minute, this looks a little bit spammy to me. You know, and I didn't click on the link, but I responded. I typed, you know, who is this and blah, blah, blah. And the quick message I got back was, this is an automated response, please.
Yeah, so I think that's what I got yesterday, which I was just going to mention, like the WhatsApp for business.
Right.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah. Yes.
And you see this green tick on the
Correct.
Number of it. So Ninja Van, which is the
that's
delivery
That's exactly
service.
Who it was from.
Ninja Van is actually now, they've enabled WhatsApp for business. So they will send you a WhatsApp message when you buy a parcel. So I bought it from Zalora or Lazada, one of the sites, and they then use Ninja Van as their delivery courier to send it over to me. And I So I find it fine because I understood that, oh, hey, this is WhatsApp for Business. This is what I've been talking about. And like, it's really cool to see it happening here. And when I clicked on the username itself, there's no number. It's just showing you the details of the company itself and what time they're open. And they've got links to the messaging and stuff. It's pretty cool in the sense because I've already given them my number for the delivery, for the shipping and stuff. And it's obviously using an AI chatbot. But I'm not sure if this is something that Facebook has a good idea in terms of implementing it globally, especially doing it for a button as easy as this, because it can be messy. The problem is when it becomes too many of them using this, then I will not use WhatsApp because then it's like just too noisy.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is that a lot of the content that is shareable on Facebook that you might want to send through WhatsApp, it's not an ad. It's not something that a business has created. It's something like a GIF or a video or a picture or an article or something.
A GIF.
We're not going to get into that debate right now because I'm standing by my pronunciation of that. But regardless, so I think I'm not sure if businesses are the right target because, as you've said, Jeff, there's already a WhatsApp for businesses. Mm. So why aren't they targeting the content that people will actually try to send over WhatsApp to people, you know, instead of sending an ad? Like, who sends an ad to someone else unless it's like a YouTube video again, but then that's a different kind of content.
I mean, last year or the year before, it was that spate when, you know, people were selling an awful lot of stuff on Instagram and whatever. And I was getting all these horrendously spammy messages.
Yeah.
Via WhatsApp from numbers I didn't recognize that clearly had picked up my number from, you know, those places where you leave your card, whether it's, you know, a coffee shop or something, or you've met somebody, and they're just spamming these telephone numbers, and that drives me mad.
You see, the thing is, right, so like according to the product marketing manager in Facebook, he said that, you know, many people already use WhatsApp to communicate with small businesses. It's fast and convenient way to stay in touch.
Mm.
So then don't disturb it, don't touch it, don't ruin it, because every time you do one of these minor updates and it becomes messy, and then it's just a whole bunch of like, oh my god, I don't want to use this service anymore. Like,
but this is what Facebook does anyway, you know. They always just put in features that people did not need in the first place.
Yeah. Thanks, and then Zuckerberg. You're forced to use it, and then later on when it becomes better, you feel, oh right, now it's like finally decent to use, and then bang, again, there's got some new update, and like you there's no time to
Facebook's
settle
down. New latest thing with the where it asks you a bunch of questions and you can give really like sloppy little scrolling through my timeline right now. I'm like, why do I need to know who you'd like to be stuck on an island with?
You know? No one needs to know.
Right, time for a break. Some music coming up. It is Ozark Mountain Daredevils with If You Wanna Get to Heaven, right here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
Hello. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Welcome back, ladies and gents.
What's that, your voice, Rich?
Sadly, I can go lower, dude. I can go much lower.
I don't want to know.
No, you don't. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with this show, you can get us on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I'm trying to keep it together. Jeff, please, can we just focus?
I'm in one piece here. All right.
Anyway, next story. Here's what people were Googling in 2017. Are we doing global or Malaysian?
Yeah, so I think we do global and see, you know, what kind of, you know, surprised you, and then we probably go on to Malaysia and see, you know, what's the differences. And the year in search is a very common thing that Google does every year. They also have this YouTube as well, favorite YouTube videos and stuff.
Yeah. They've got YouTube Rewind as well, which is a whole conglomeration of all these YouTubers.
I don't think they've done the Rewind yet. Because
they've done it.
I've
seen it.
Okay.
I keep up
already
with my YouTube
for this
news.
Year already.
Right. So I have not seen the Rewind yet, but I look forward to all these things because it's always just a reminder of yourself. So the year, you know, whenever we look back of the year, we could only remember like the last 3 or 4 months of it. We tend to forget some of the earlier parts that happened in January and February, and there could be some big things. And the thing with this year in search is that they go through over 1 trillion search queries each year. That's like an incredible amount of numbers. So like they've obviously done in trends, and they split down into like a few categories. Of they've got like top searchers, top people searchers, global news, actors, consumer tech, elections, sporting events, how to losses, blah blah blah. It goes all the way. There's a lot of stuff, but let's start with probably I would start with consumer tech global first.
Okay.
It's interestingly enough, iPhone 8 was the number one search, followed by iPhone X.
That's
actually
interesting.
I'm not that surprised by that, mainly because I think there was so much more publicity about the iPhone X, so less people needed to search for it. No, and people were like, there's an iPhone 8,
so
huh?
I think the reason why people searched for iPhone 8 a lot more than the iPhone X is because nobody knew it was going to be called the iPhone X until they actually announced it's the iPhone X.
Good point. Good
Everyone was actually expecting, you know, what's the iPhone 8, iPhone 8. And you know, I think that's why probably the iPhone 8 was like the number one search. But the number three is the Nintendo Switch.
Yes,
and Nintendo had a really, really good year this year because the Switch is an amazing console. It's a beautiful console. Amazing. I don't own one, but I've played around with Uma's one and it's fantastic. I would love one as a Christmas gift. So anyways, but yeah, Nintendo Switch coming at number three, and then the Samsung Galaxy S8 at number four, nice. And the Xbox One X at number five, which we don't have it here in Malaysia.
We don't have it here. We don't have any support here. Thank you, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. How long has it been now since they came to Malaysia? Generations, 10,000 years. Right?
And I did not have a beard.
You did not have a beard. Oh, I mean, looking at the most popular searches overall, though, for global, I mean, Hurricane Irma being number one, which makes sense.
Mm. Yep,
but
fair.
iPhone 8 being the second of all searches globally. That is crazy. You know, and
millennials.
I mean, I would also just point out that, like, again, no one, like, what the fact that we keep calling it the iPhone X when it's meant to be the iPhone 10.
You're right. Yeah, nobody's going to call it the iPhone 10.
No
really,
one is going to call it the iPhone 10.
In your brain, Apple still... purist would say the iPhone 10,
but I mean, let's have a guess then. You know, I mean, one of the categories that we know about it is movies.
Ah, okay, great, cool.
Biggest search movie globally.
You see,
what would you think it is?
No, I would have thought for 2017 would be Star Wars. Right.
Yeah, but it didn't come until the end, right?
Yeah, but everyone was looking for spoilers, looking for some information. The amount of late night comedy shows that have followed up on trying to dig out information about The Last Jedi, trailers that people were searching out for, clips and stuff. I would have assumed that Star Wars would have been number one.
Didn't even come in the top 10.
I was like, what?
I would guess maybe one of the, like, either Marvel or DC.
No.
Oh, no. What?
No. Mm. It was, in fact, It.
Yep.
It was the number one search movie of 2017, followed by number two, though, Wonder Woman.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Arvin's favorite movie, Logan, came in at number four, so, you know, good. Justice League at number five. I guess if you were...
They were looking for bad reviews.
I think they were looking for bad reviews. Yeah. How bad is Justice League? That's why it came in number five. What's interesting is the how-to category, because this is always very fun, especially when you put in the autocomplete search in your Google tab, and if you just type in how to and then just see what follows next, it individually, it's personalized to every individual, but globally, the global search for how to, the number one how to, is to how to make slime. Why? I don't know.
Okay, right.
Have you Googled how to make slime?
No. I will clarify this a little bit for maybe some of our listeners who don't really know what this is about. So slime is a thing that the kids these days like to do, and it's all over YouTube, and it's just, you just basically make like a moldable plastic, and it feels nice, and it sounds nice apparently to some people. And you
sounds
can,
nice?
Yeah, you can put like beads in it and make it crackle and stuff.
Oh.
Like
oh,
that,
I see,
and
I see,
stretch
I see.
It and mold it and stuff. But this is what the kids are doing these days, is the slime videos.
And then second is how to make solar eclipse glasses, because obviously there was a solar eclipse this year, especially in the US if you were there. How to buy Bitcoin came in number three. That's, in fact, kind of just shows how Bitcoin and the whole cryptocurrency world has gone up. Number four is quite fishy, because it's like how to watch Mayweather versus McGregor. You're like, hey,
I may have contributed to that search,
and like I know, I but like you know, there were so many links that was, you know, these pirated links, and the Google, when you search that on Google, it actually comes up with the warning that you know, you were not supposed to. And number five came in how to make a fidget spinner. Come on,
how to buy one, how to make one,
right? How to? We better quickly move on though to the top searches that were trending in Malaysia in 2017. Interestingly enough, of all searches, the top search was searching for Brim. That was number one search. That came in at number one.
Love it.
The top news story was JJPTR, followed by petrol price in Malaysia.
Of course.
The budget 2018 came in at number three. Clearly, people are a little bit worried about that. Now, interestingly, this kind of goes to show the Malaysian consumer mind.
Are you talking about movies?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
Right, okay. Christine, I'll throw it back to you again. Number one search movie in Malaysia for 2017. Was
Justice League
that came in at number two?
Darn! I keep getting the number twos. Yeah, what are you getting the number twos?
Number one, Fast and Furious.
No, I reject this as a concept. I reject this as a culture, and I reject this as a consumer.
Oh dear, yeah, this is where we are. This is
For those people who do watch local series, the number one local series is Hero Seorang Cinderella, mm-hmm. and number two is Titian Cinta. I have no idea what I'm saying because I don't watch these local series. And
guys.
So just go on to Google trends.google.com.my for the Malaysian.
It's really interesting.
Interesting. You can also explore your own topics, and you can find out more information about this, and you can learn about how the lists are populated. So this is a really fascinating list, and you could actually play games with your friends around the Christmas weekend on just setting up games. What do you think are the top five? You could do one of those. What's the Steve Harvey game again?
Family Feud.
Family Feud. Yeah. You could do Family Feud based on this.
To all Malaysians, this is a PSA. There are better movies out there than Fast and Furious. You're welcome.
Yes, indeed. Clearly, Justice League number two, Beauty and the Beast number three, Wonder Woman four, It five, Logan six, Annabelle Creation coming in at seven. That was everywhere in Malaysia earlier this year.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, enough about that.
The dolls and MRT and all that.
Scary stuff. Right, time to move along. Music coming up next from the Jimmy Castor Bunch with a track called It's Just Begun. When we come back, How the Force is Strong, an amputee controls individual prosthetic fingers. It's been a long morning. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
No spoilers, but I'm going to be talking a little bit about Luke Skywalker and Star Wars.
Okay.
Kind of.
All right.
Okay,
right.
Cool.
So, Luke Skywalker's bionic hand. We all loved that, right? Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a step closer to reality for amputees in this galaxy. Oh. So researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology have created an ultrasonic sensor that allows amputees to control each of their prosthetic fingers individually. It provides fine motor hand gestures that aren't possible with currently commercial available devices. So the first amputee to use it, who is a musician who lost part of his right arm 5 years ago, is now able to play the piano for the first time since his accident.
Oh,
he
wow.
can even strum the Star Wars theme tune.
Wow.
So the difference is this prosthetic arm is powered by ultrasound signals. It's done by this guy called Gil Weinberg. He's the guy who leads the project. He said, by using this new technology, the arm can detect which fingers an amputee wants to move, even if they don't have fingers. So
That's
this
fantastic.
Guy, this guy is called Jason Barnes. He's the guy who's been working alongside Weinberg. He was electrocuted during a work accident back in 2012. And, of course, that's when they had to amputate his hands. He no longer has his right hand and most of his forearm, but does have the muscles in the residual limb that control his fingers. So his everyday normal prosthesis is similar to the majority of devices on the market. It's controlled by an electromyogram, an EMG. And this is what's attached to his muscles. So he twitches his arms into various moves, and it presses the button. And each mode has two programmed moves. So it kind of opens or closes, right? That's how it works. The difference is, the problem is with EMGs is that they're not very accurate. They can detect muscle movement, but the signal is too noisy to infer which finger that person wants to move. Then when they started using ultrasound, the difference is like night and day. Not only can it detect whether this thing is open or closed, but it can direct the movement of electricity within the body. So it knows what's moving forward, knows what's moving back.
Wow.
This is a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you ask Jason Barnes, he would say this is just insane.
Yeah.
Because, it's always really sad, especially when, he had this injury because of an accident, and to lose that ability, and then prosthetics are something that don't quite actually give you that full sensation still. Hence, there are it causes a bit of a problem with the mind and you go through a, you know, a depression, you go through real tough time trying to cope with it, right? And good enough, you got to, you know, go through the accident itself and then you got to adjust your life to this device or this prosthetic that is, you know, connected to you. For the technology inside prosthetics has just changed a lot. And it's just amazing to see how we could go on to the finer details of your finger movements. Right. We take it for granted here because, you know, we move our fingers around. We don't actually think of the amount of effort that it actually requires internally to actually move these fingers until you lose that ability and then you wonder, wow, this is really hard. And
you know, I think this is just really, really fascinating because it's giving people back the ability to be like of dexterity.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And that is something that is so important. I think, you know, a lot of, like you've said, a lot of prosthetics kind of work on a, you can grab thing, you can move thing, and then that's like about it. But now you can do so much more and it opens up this whole new world of possibilities for them.
I mean, the idea about, I mean, it's the same kind of thing that they use to monitor babies within the womb, right? Yeah. So they're using that. And the guy goes on to say, you know, it's completely mind-blowing. The new arm allows him, he can even play drums with it.
Yeah, because this is the second device, right? Yeah. The first device is actually fitting in a prosthetic arm for his love of drums.
So he had two drumsticks.
He's got two drumsticks.
One of them that moved on its own by listening to the room and improvising.
Amazing.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy.
Crazy thing.
But if you really get the chance, go and watch this
video. Watch
it
on YouTube.
It's
amazing.
Incredible. I mean, he's only playing this really, really simple thing, but you can see that in his head, he's just like, this is unreal.
Yeah. What should people search for if they want to watch the video?
You just need to search for...
Just type Luke Skywalker prosthetic fingers.
Yeah, video.
It will surely be up there. It's done by Georgia Tech. That's the YouTube channel. And you should just see. The cool thing about it is that the prosthetic fingers that they gave him is all in black.
Yeah,
and it kind of
looks
like
the part as
Darth
Vader. Nice.
Right, we have to take a break. We've got some music coming up. Elastica with Car Song, followed by a bit of Neil Young. We're taking it down a peg or two with Powderfinger. Don't go anywhere. On to our final story very shortly with Jiffy Cat. Say it, Christine. Say it, Christine. She's just staring at me, Jeff.
Yeah,
just
if only me, right? We had a video here, that would be amazing.
Time for a break. Here we go. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Final story of the day, delivered by Christine. What's the story, Christine?
All right, okay. So,
come on,
Giphy Cat wants to fix your low fidelity GIFs with machine learning. Okay,
okay.
I'm gonna say GIF for the sake of just saying it. I understand that the technical correct pronunciation is with the J.
GIF. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to choose not to use it for the sake of the story.
Okay.
Okay. So we all love to share them, and there are plenty of ways to do that through online portals or keyboards, but oftentimes because there's so much content, you end up sharing a very low-quality GIF.
Correct.
We all know those really pixelated, you know, they're about like...
And they take a week to load.
And there can be plenty of copies of the same video clips as a GIF, or maybe it's just difficult to capture and upload, but Giphy Cat hopes that this problem can be solved at a technical level. So what they're doing is they're essentially using AI and machine learning to scour the web for the original version of a video where the GIF is coming from, in some cases, let's say like YouTube or Vimeo or whatever, and then they want to analyze that video to figure out what part of it the GIF came from.
Mm-hmm.
The company will then produce automatically a higher quality GIF and swap it out, making the broader spread of the GIF a higher quality version. So the whatever version of that particular animation is out there in the world will be like quietly replaced with a better quality one.
Nice.
This is what we want.
Yeah. High quality stuff because
this will change Arvin's life forever.
He loves
notorious for just, you know, the WhatsApp group chat is full of the GIFs. What they're saying is that they noticed a number of users were uploading GIFs that were incredibly popular, but when they uploaded it, they were most of the time quite low quality. So they've been looking at AI and machine learning for a while now as it relates to their initiative to beautify the web when it comes to GIFs. Then after that, they're wanting to take this machine learning a step further. So if a creator uploads a GIF that includes a celebrity, they might not necessarily tag it as that celebrity. So the company is doing some internal analysis to identify which celebrity is in that GIF and automatically tag them. The hope is that While the company has a library of existing popular celebrities, it'll be able to identify up-and-coming ones with these tools and automatically start tagging them as they come in. Now, an interesting thing that I want to point out is that GiffyCat built both of these tools internally because apparently the off-the-shelf products that were available to them did not work well with GIFs. Because although GIFs are a series of images, he says that a lot of times, and by he, I mean the CEO, Richard Rabbit, he says that oftentimes a lot of different elements in a GIF, like multiple celebrities, will appear in sequence, and standard image recognition technology can't identify
right,
all of them.
Right, right, right.
So they had to basically build everything from scratch, and they wanted to do everything in real time. And they're now able to identify these people within about a minute of people creating content.
A minute?
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
A minute GIF.
No. From when something is uploaded, and if it's terrible quality, yeah.
Yeah, so they're able to identify all these problems.
But I thought, you know, some of the charm of the GIF was that it was a little bit pixelated, you know? Mm. Not all of them.
I mean, I would prefer to at least be able to see what it's trying to describe, you know what I mean? Yeah. And for me, I guess it's more like, you know, I spend a lot of time on, like, let's say Tumblr, where we had to make them low quality. We had to make GIFs low quality because it wouldn't support, let's say, anything above, like, 500 pixels or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a file size problem.
Yeah,
it's just heavy to download.
And all this stuff. So I understand why low quality GIFs exist, but it would be nice, you know, to just have, like, a prettier internet.
It's nice to have high resolution GIFs, but also these low quality GIFs, they do serve a purpose, like you mentioned. Because for me, when I receive a GIF on WhatsApp, and if it takes more than 2 seconds to download it on my WhatsApp, for whatever reason, whether it's my own telco or whether it's the Wi-Fi wonky or just it's a heavy GIF, I just stop and then I reply, ha ha ha, pretending that I have seen the GIF.
Yes.
I do it. Yes, we all do it.
I also do that too. Yes,
yeah, we're all guilty of that. Yeah.
Right, it is time for us to wrap up, though, folks. We're almost out of time here on the show. But very quickly, if you missed any part of this show, please do head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play to download the BFM app. And, of course, you can head over to bfm.my/podcasts to have a listen there a little bit later on. Meanwhile, let's go through the stories that we covered today. Mm. Jeff.
Yeah, so Doomsday Bunkers are now available for rent. It's a cool $25,000 deposit. And you can get up to a 323,000 square feet of an underground bunker for your doomsday dream come true.
What was the term that we used? Apartments for the apocalypse.
Apartments for the apocalypse, A4A.
Mm.
And then we talked about how click to WhatsApp messaging buttons are now starting to roll out on Facebook ads.
And we did like a small family feud game in the studio thanks to Google's Year in Search. Really cool stuff. Go and check it out. It's trends.google.com.
We then moved on to how an amputee can control individual prosthetic fingers thanks to a development by the Georgia Institute of Technology.
And then we talked about how GiffyCat wants to fix your low-fidelity GIFs with machine learning.
Almost right. Time to wrap up then. But before we go, don't forget that after the 1 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill replay. It is with...
Yeah, so as Malaysians continue to deal with the higher cost of living, the question the Breakfast Grill guest is the effect of the policy failure. So they spoke to the Minister of Domestic Trade and Cooperative and Consumerism, Dato' Sri Hamzah Zainuddin. Then you got to stay tuned to find out what's the whole effect all about. Really interesting interview. They wanted to do an extended interview, but they can't because it's Tech Thursday and have a 1:30 interview. So do stay tuned all the way through to 2 p.m. And if you missed any parts, you can obviously, like Rich mentioned, just download the podcast.
Download
the app and get the podcast.
We will be back tomorrow, of course. Same time, same place. We're going to have a bit of a fun Friday. Perhaps not start off with Doomsday, little stories about Doomsday stuff. Anyway, music coming up. It is Echo and the Bunny Men. Oh, my word, it is going to be Doomsday. with Seven Seas here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.com. Or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.